What's up? Good morning, everybody. I'm going to try that one more time. Good morning, everybody. Okay. Hey, listen, we had a meeting last Sunday. We always have like a meeting with some of our leaders. We call them, I don't know what we call them. We call them a few different things. We haven't got an official name yet. We're working on that 3 years later, right? And a lot of people, we knew that a lot of our volunteers were going to be out this week. Here's the deal. If everybody's going to go on vacation the same week, freaking tell me. We'll go on vacation too. We'll shut the church down and go on vacation, okay? Let's just let that be known. We put a lot of work into a Sunday morning. If everybody's going to be gone, you know, we'll figure something out, right? So anyway, we're starting a new series today for those of us that are here called Your Move. And this whole idea is really, I don't know, I think Christianity, it's a huge journey, and we'll talk about this more kind of in depth. But it's a long journey, but it's a journey that's made by steps. You know, if you've heard the old, I guess it's an old proverb, not like from the book of Proverbs, but like a Chinese proverb or something, I don't know. And it says, the journey of 1,000 steps or 1,000 miles begins with the first step, right? And that's what Christianity is. It's a long journey, but it's all about steps to get you towards the destination that you're headed toward, right? And so what we're going to talk about today is kind of the first step that all of us should take, probably have taken, maybe have taken, thinking about taking, I don't know, wherever you're at, that's fine. And what's really cool is we get to kind of clarify some terms in you know, for us as a church, because this is what is really exciting to me. We've got so many different people from different backgrounds and like, I don't know, your church background is a lot different probably than the person sitting next to you. Like some of us have no church background. Some of us grew up Baptist. I'm a recovering charismatic. I don't know. We've all got, it's a long story, right? And so we've all got very different religious backgrounds. And so a lot of times in church, people say things and they assume churches do it. We're really bad about this. We make a lot of assumptions. We assume that people know when we say certain words what that word means. Like, you know, for example, being saved. Well, what does that mean? Like that could mean 1,000 different things. And so today what we're going to do is we get to clarify some of kind of the basic tenets of Christianity. And so we kind of get to formulate our own little motion way of thinking. It's kind of cultish. It's really cool. Just kidding. Absolutely kidding. So again, Christianity is all about steps. But more importantly, it's about what your step is, what your next move is. And so one of the greatest byproducts of belief is action. Hey, do you guys see that? I'm holding it with my, I'm not going to say what I wanted to say, but anyway, dang, sometimes. So one of the greatest byproducts of belief is action. And we'll talk about this again kind of in detail. But the point is that when you believe in something strong enough, it leads you, it compels you to actually do something with the belief that you have. Otherwise, it's just daydreaming. It's just an idea. But belief is so much stronger. It's so much more powerful than that. And so knowledge is really important, but it's what you do with that knowledge that really matters. Like we've talked about this before, the difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is knowing what to do. Wisdom is doing what you know to do. And so don't just be knowledgeable, be wise. And I think that, I don't know, you guys are wise people. You know that. So again, over the next few weeks, we're going to take a look at what our move is. And what's really cool is like we're talking about some really basic stuff, but even basic stuff demands a lot from us. Like you're never off the hook when it comes to Christianity. Like some people are like, oh man, I've been in church my whole life. I've already got this Jesus salvation thing down. Like you're never done. And that's what's really cool because there's always something for us to do. So the first thing is we're gonna talk about is the first thing. First things first, and that's salvation. It's being saved. These words that we use a lot of times, and we just assume that people know what they mean. So let's kind of start at the beginning. Now, in Christianity, like it's obviously Christianity, right? Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, the foundation, the pillar of our belief. We believe that God sent him to the earth to become the atonement for our sins. So let's rewind back to the Old Testament. There was a system in place. The religious system was such that if you messed up, this is a terrible paraphrase, but you're going to go with it, and it's going to be great, right? So if you sinned or if you messed up or you did something stupid, there were so many different laws and things that you had to adhere to. And if you broke one of those, you had to go slaughter an animal and take it to the priest. I mean, that's kind of the short version of it, the Cliff Notes version of it. So Jesus came in the New Testament, and it says that he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. He became the atonement for all of our sins, all of the sins of all of humanity, past, present, and future. So Jesus didn't, I love the way that he said, he didn't come to nullify the law, he didn't come to wipe it out, he came to fulfill the law. So Jesus fulfilled the law, this need, this payment that was necessary for our sins. So again, when you sin, it creates a debt. Jesus became the payment for the debt that we created. Does that make sense? You guys are all smart people. Shelly's like, yeah. And everybody else is like, huh? Everybody else, even if you're not physically on vacation, maybe you're mentally on vacation. I don't know. I'm just kidding. So it's just this belief in Jesus as the Son of God that nailed, and Jesus took our sin and our shame, and we use expressions like this, he nailed it to the cross, because that's kind of what, you know, again, that's what it all stands for, and the whole, you know, cross and Golgotha and all these crazy things that we talk about usually only at Easter. Like, all of that is kind of foundational to our salvation. So this belief in him as the Son of God, what it does is it compels us to live differently. And if it doesn't, then I don't know that your belief is where it needs to be. Maybe your belief needs to be deeper, because, and this is the world that we live in. Like, everybody is, you know, a Christian somewhat. Like, and that's just the stupid, how are you somewhat a Christian? It just never works out. It never pans out where people, like, you know, halfway in, halfway out. You've heard the expression, like, riding the fence. You know what happens when you ride the fence? There's a T-post coming, cuz. If you're a visual person, you know what just happened. And all the dudes go, ooh. I don't know. It just doesn't work. That does not work. And so I think our belief could always stand to be a little bit stronger. So again, belief compels us to live differently. Loving God and loving the people that he has placed around us is just kind of a byproduct of the belief that he is the Son of God, that he took our place. And man, I used to really, I don't know, I think I still do. We probably all do this. Maybe when you think about your story, and we're not perfect. Nobody expects you to be flawless or anything of the sort. But a lot of times when I think about who it was that I used to be, and the fact that God loved me enough to save me from myself, man, it just messes me up sometimes. I remember there was this, I don't know what it was about this one trail that I used to walk, and I would just think about where it was that I used to be, and although I'm not everything that I want to be, I'm not the man that I used to be, right? And I just think about that, and man, it's just something about it, being in that place and thinking about what God has done or had done or is continuing to do with my life, it just messed me up. And I think that we should never lose that. Like, if you've lost that, then I think you're really kind of missing the idea. It's just a constant reminder of God's grace in your life, and you should always be open to being reminded of that. So that was a freebie. Didn't cost you a cent. That's what free means, right? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. You've heard this with respect to salvation and all of that stuff. But there are some really cool parts of this that I think sometimes we just kind of gloss over, or we just go too fast and don't really pay attention to. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. And so what we've done in Christianity is we've kind of formulated this into kind of, you know, this is how you become saved. So we use Romans, it's called the Romans Road to Salvation, which is really clever. It's really good. Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that everybody sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin of death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you'll be saved. And so if you memorize all that, you're good, like you're golden. I'm just kidding. There's so much more to it. But I think that what we do is we try to make a formula out of something that was never meant to be formalized. Is formalized even a word? I don't know, but it sounds really appropriate. And so what's really cool about this particular verse are some of the ways that words are used together. And it says, like, for example, look at this. It says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And so I think that this idea that belief, it's so much more than just what's going on in our head. It's a belief that's so deep that it's in our heart. And it's really cool if you kind of compare that to what Jesus said. He said, as a man thinks in his heart, so is that man. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's who you are, like we talked about last week, and it sounds really cool when you chant it and, like, I don't know, light candles and cult again. I'm completely kidding. You guys are going to be like, no wonder nobody's coming back. We think we're a freaking cult. I understand. So anyway, it's just, it's really cool that it uses words like that together. Believe in your heart, deep down. It's a belief that's so much more than just daydreaming and a thought and like theological formations of opinion. Like, it's a belief that's deep and it's real and you can't take it away from me. And I've heard this said before and it's so good. A person with an experience is never at the mercy of a person with an argument. Like, you may have these ideas and you can argue with me about what you believe and what you think, but I've experienced the grace and the mercy of God, and I'll never be at your mercy. I'll never kowtow to what it is that you want me to believe or whatever. So that's good. It is. Yeah. Preach, sister. Anyway, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. And again, I hope you've heard all of these a lot, but Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says this: "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." And so, just kind of, you know, painting the full picture here. Salvation is just God's gift to us. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. And that's kind of the problem that they were facing at the time when Jesus came, is that a lot of people were working for their standing or their right standing or their place with God. They were, you know, Pharisees, and they were doing all of the right things externally, but internally they were messed up. And of course, like we've talked about so many times, God's so much more worried about what's going on inside of you than outside of you. Because if you get the inside right, the outside will take care of itself. But if you're focusing on the outside, the inside gets neglected. So that's important. There are some things at this point I think we've already started to communicate, but I think we want to double communicate just to be sure that we're all on the same page or something like that. Belief is so much more than just an idea. It's not just this, again, things that are going through your head. It's so much more than that. Again, back in Romans chapter 10, it uses these words, belief, this word belief. And so I looked up the Greek word for belief, and I can't pronounce it, so I'm not even going to try. But the definition is something to the effect of confidence and assurance. Like, so our belief, when we believe in our heart that Jesus is the Son of God, it's this confidence and assurance that he is who he says he is. And he can do what he says he can do. And so I think, man, when we get it like that, have you ever been confident of something? Like, it's so much more than just like, I think I know, you know, the answer to this. Like, if I know I'm right, like, I will fight to the death about something, right? And probably to a fault. Like, it's probably not even good how adamant I am about being confident. I'm sure all the dudes are like, I know what you mean. Like, if you are confident, if somebody, you know, challenges you on something and you know the answer to the question, you're confident, and there's nobody that could deter you from what you know. And I think that's what belief is. It's like, this is what you know to be true, and nobody, no situation that you face will knock you off of the belief that you have, and no words that people say will knock you off of the belief that you have. It's deep. It's this confidence. It's this assurance in God and Jesus as the Son of God and the payment for our penalty and all of that stuff. So it's a belief that's so deep that it's in your heart. I've heard people trying to kind of make sense of this and simplify it, because I need simple, right? We read books with pictures around here, most of you, except for you Laterno people, right? You guys are writing books. I don't know. It's different. And so I've heard it said like this. It's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. It's like what we know and what we really, really know. And then somebody kind of took it a step further, and I thought this was really good. The distance between us and eternity is about 16 inches. Approximately, unless you got a long neck, then maybe 18, but you get the idea. And so it's just, man, belief, it's got to be deep. And I don't think it ever gets deep unless you open yourself up to it, right? Like, God can never do fully in you what he wants to do in you unless you're open to him doing in you what he wants to do in you, right? And so I think there's a lot for us to do with that. And so what's really cool, again, is that a lot of us have stories about this. So you've had stories about how this belief in God has changed your life. I know that I do, and I know that you probably do. And if you haven't, you need to, because that would be your next move. That's the thing that you need to do. Like, this is where it all starts. Like, we can talk about all the great things about God and Christianity, but if you don't get this right, then none of that even matters. You got to get the first things first. So maybe this is your move. So the first part of it is a belief, a certain thing or a certain person or to do certain things. Go back to Romans chapter 10, and I thought this was really fascinating. It says that you will be saved, for with the heart a person believes, right? We said that. And then it says right after that, that results in righteousness. Do we have it up on the, put it up on the screen so I can point at it and be all cool, right? It says, for with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness. And so we talk about righteousness as kind of like doing the right things. And of course, the idea is simply that you're in right standing with God. But a lot of that is based on the things that you do, right, after you get the first part down. I'm not trying to contradict. It's all about grace, and it's a free gift of God. But if you read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, it also says that you are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So it's both. It's, you know, people are like, is it about faith or works? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Not the answer they were looking for. So with the heart, a person believes, resulting in righteousness. It's a belief that's so deep that causes you to become something, specifically the person that God wants you to become. So that's the second part of salvation, is becoming who it is that God wants us to become. Simply put, our belief leads us to become who it is that God wants us to become. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this is, man, this is one of those verses that's just like, yeah, you know? For me, you guys are like, you know, you're like the JV cheerleaders. I'm the varsity cheerleader. Feeling it. I've got a lot more spunk in the permagrin, okay? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says this. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. And man, this is so good. There's another, this is the NLT, I guess the regular, like New King James or NIV. It says, don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what's really cool about that word transform, that's actually the word that they use when they talk about a butterfly. And so the caterpillar goes into the cocoon and he's transformed into this butterfly. It's such a fascinating thing if you look at it. And so that's what we're doing. It's like we're being transformed into this beautiful thing that God wants us to become. But you got to go in there and you got to be transformed and you got to change the way you think. Because if you change the way you think, you change the way you act, and you change the way that you respond, and you change the way that you react. Because how many of you know life is so, I mean, as much as we want to be proactive and in control, life is so much about how you react, because crap happens, or some version of that. That's the PG version, right? That's the church version of how life goes down sometimes. And so when you've changed the way you think and you've kind of got this belief in God that he's good and he's in control and he's done everything for you, Jesus said on the cross that it is finished. Like, so he's done everything for you that you need. And so when we believe like that, when stuff happens to us, we don't freak out. We don't get so bent out of shape. We can trust that it's all going to work out, because it always does. Slow soul, right? And so changing the way we think changes the way we act and react to things that happen to us. Like Jesus said, and we talked about this last week. Actually, this is in Proverbs. It says, as a man thinks, so is he. Like, the way we think ultimately becomes the way that we live and the things that we do and the things that you do. You're the sum total of your choices, like it or not. So the things that you choose to do over and over become who you are, and who you are, the things that you've made a lifestyle out of, that's the legacy that you're going to leave. And so you guys get it. You're smart people. You figure it out. And so that's why there's always going to be moves for us to make. That's why salvation is not just a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. There are always things for us to improve on. There's always moves for us to make to get better, to become more like Jesus every single day. Because here's, again, the world happens, right? Life happens. Things happen every day that just kind of come up against that and who it is that you are and who it is that you want to be. And so you've got to constantly try to become who it is that God wants you to be. And you do that with belief. You do that with changing the way you think, right? Man, I think one of my favorite things is just looking at kind of the science of the brain. Like, the brain is fascinating to me. I mean, the whole body is really cool, but the brain is just fun, right? And so I've read a little. I'm not smart, don't get me wrong. I'm not like a neuroscientist. I told Shelly one time, I was like, you know, if I wasn't a pastor, I think I'd want to be a neuroscientist. And I probably wouldn't make the cut, right? You don't want this guy operating on your brain. I'm just telling you. I'd be doing something and be like, oh, ESPN update, hold up. Check my phone. Leave my phone in your head. That would not be good. Just not be good. At any rate, the brain is really fascinating to me. So we talk about thinking a lot because, man, it's huge. It's huge. And so the way you think determines who you are and what you've done and what you do and all of that stuff. And so this is kind of the part where we get to this constantly changing and becoming who it is that God wants us to be. It's this really old school word called sanctification. And it's the second part of salvation. Like there's this, of course, there's this moment, and you've probably had this moment where you're like, okay, God, I'm sick of doing things my way. I recognize that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Let's go. Let's do this. And your conversation may have been different, but that's the gist of it, right? And so there's that moment, but then there's also this process after the moment, and it's called sanctification. It's the process of becoming, and it all is a result of your belief, right? Right. So that's it. I think that if we get that we're never done, that there's always work to do, then we'll be better for it. I had a conversation this week with a guy who's been in ministry for like 25 years. He's actually the pastor of First Baptist Church downtown, like the big, you know, First Baptist, huge copper roof, awesome old building, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever been to downtown Longview? Okay, good. Southside, right? And so anyway, he's been in ministry for 25 years. Okay, this guy got a bachelor's degree from Oklahoma, got a master's degree from Baylor, got a doctorate from God knows where, somewhere. I mean, like he really did. I don't know why that's funny, you weirdos. And again, on top of all of that, he's been in ministry for 25 years. And so we were talking, and he was talking about how they're preaching, or he's talking about the book of James. They're doing a series on the book of James. And this was so cool to me. Like, this guy's, he's got that much experience. He's been in ministry for that long. And this is what he said, and it was so cool. He's like, I'm doing the book of James. We're going through the book of James as a church. And I guarantee you that the book of James is messing me up more than it's messing them up. Like, it means more to him, this guy that's been in ministry for 25 years, that's preached thousands of sermons, that's counseled hundreds of people. He's reading the book of James and teaching the book of James, and it means more to him, and it's messing him up, and it's challenging him and convicting him probably even more than the people that he's preaching it to. And that, to me, was just a great example that you're never done. Like, there's always work to be done. There's always this person to become and things to improve on and all of that stuff. So that's why I think that every person in this room, you've got a move to make. We all have a move to make. Move to make. I figured the echo would just reinforce. Echo, right? Anyway, like we said in the beginning, Christianity is all about moves. And it's about just realizing that this journey that we're on is about, you know, the next step, the next step, the next step, the next step. And this is kind of a side note. I always like to crack on Christianity in general and churches and all that stuff. I probably shouldn't, but I do. Because this is one of the things, this bugs me to no end. Churches, a lot of times, and maybe not around here, I hope not us, but a lot of churches, they want you to look a certain way. They want you to have become before you ever believe. And so when people come to church and they don't look the certain way or they don't act a certain way, they kind of get shunned or black sheeped or however you want to describe that. And it's just so backwards, man. It's a flawed system, flawed order that you've got there. People will never believe, and they'll never become. I'm sorry, they'll never become unless they believe, and they'll never believe if you don't give them room to do so. And so I've kind of got just a belief that there's even another layer to this. People want to belong, then they'll believe, then they'll become. I'm going to write a book. That's good. Actually, I'm going to get one of the Laterno kids to write a book, and I gave you the idea, and I keep all the money. You do all the work. It's good. And that, man, that's just it. Like, people want to belong. They want to know that you love them for who they are, not what they've got going on or not what they can do or what they can't do. They want to belong. Then the opportunity to believe will present itself, and then once they believe, they'll become who it is that God wants them to become. So that's just a long kind of intro to salvation, and there's this belief aspect of it. And the belief ultimately is powerful enough and strong enough to compel us and convict us and challenge us to become who it is that God wants us to become. And I want to go back just to reiterate the Romans chapter 12, verse 2 thing. Man, that's so good. If you don't know that, go memorize that. Go. Everybody's got smartphones. You've got a Bible app. If you don't, it's free. Get it. Memorize Romans chapter 12, verse 2, because you're going to go through seasons in life and situations in life will come against you. And man, if you just remember that I'm not going to be conformed to the pattern of this world. I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care how everybody else lives. You know what's really cool to me is they're doing the total money makeover. And here's the deal. This is the pattern of the world. Be a moron, run up credit card debt, and buy everything that you can possibly buy and just be stressed out to the max. Like, that's the pattern of this world. Am I wrong? Because it's funny to me that the average household income is you know, somewhere around $45,000 and the average household debt is stupid ridiculous. Like, the average, like $9,000 a family in credit card debt? Something to that effect? $9,000. And I mean, come on. Like, just be intelligent. Be smart. That's the pattern of the world. That's not the way that we're going to live, because we're called to be responsible and good stewards. And I'm not even mean to talk about money, because everybody's like, oh, God, don't talk about money in church. What do you talk about? That's the silent organ. Listen, life gives you lemons, man. You just make lemonade, right? You got to do something. And so we're just not going to be conformed to the pattern of the world. It doesn't matter what other people do. My God, what did your mom say? If everybody else was jumping off the bridge, would you do it too? And you're a smart aleck, and you're like, yeah. But you know you wouldn't. Who cares? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. You be you in the right way, not in a stupid way, because that's like the new age, like, I'm going to do me. Well, you're stupid, so don't do that. Like, be smart. Like, let's have some intelligence here, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. Like, be who it is that God wants you to be, because that's so much better than following some moron. Can the blind lead the blind? Like, if you're following blind people, just figure out you're going to end up in a ditch. It's not going to be good. Jesus said that. That's not even funny. I don't know why you guys are laughing at that, you creeps. Dang. Just don't do that. Don't. Don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Like, again, that's such a powerful word. Like, I mean, I know we remember second grade science or whenever it was they started talking about cocoons and caterpillars and butterflies and all that mess, but that's a transformation. And so when you start changing the way you think, you change your outcome, you change who it is that you become. Like, dude, caterpillars are cool, but they kind of suck. They can't fly. I just offended everybody that loves caterpillars, apparently. And everybody that loves Alice in Wonderland. You're like, what? It's because, you know, the big fat caterpillar that smokes cigars or whatever. I said that, right? That's right. What's his name? Anyway. Man, I thought you guys were up on your literature. So don't be conformed to the pattern of this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Like it said in the NLT, change the way you think, and that changes who it is that you become. So that's the first step. The next one is this, and a lot of you guys have already done this, and that's fantastic, but I just want to make sure that, again, we're all on the same page. This is kind of laying a foundation so that we all know what it is that we're talking about. The second move is the one that typically follows salvation, and it's that of baptism. Why have you not been baptized, right? Have you guys seen Nacho Libre? Oh, shit, man, I should get that clip because that is so awesome. And he's like, slams him in a bucket of water. He's like, praise the Lord. It's fantastic. But baptism is just the next step after salvation. It's your move after salvation. It's our way of going public with what's going on in our life. We go public with our community and the people around us and the people that we're doing life with and our church family. It's just, I've heard it said like this, and I thought this was really a great kind of clarifying phrase. It's an outward expression of an inward condition. Like, you recognize that things are changing on the inside of you. You've got this belief inside of you that results in salvation, and so it's an outward expression of that. And so I think that, man, if you haven't been baptized, there's no reason for you not to be baptized. And it's nothing weird. We don't, like, sprinkle you or, I mean, some of you, we may hold under just a little bit longer. It depends on, you know, how you were before you got saved, right? I don't know. And so this kind of, it all comes, there are several verses that we could look at that talk about the importance of this. But this one is the Great Commission, like Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Like, this is referred to the Great Commission. Like Jesus said to his people, this was passed down through history and perpetuity or whatever, on for all of us to do, like the Great Commission, the Great Command, the great thing for you to do as people who are part of the Christian religion. It says, therefore, go and make disciples and freaking bring them to church. That's not in there. I just added that. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Like, that's the Great Commission. Go and make disciples. Like, people, disciples obviously are people who followed, are disciples of disciplines and things and teachings and such. You know, you get the idea. People who adhere to certain disciplines. And so that's what a disciple is. Make disciples of Christianity and baptize them. The Great Commission includes baptism. So one of you, you probably were, somebody went to you and made a disciple out of you or invited you to church or however your family, whatever it is for you, whatever your story is, then it includes baptism. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so that's where the command comes from, or one of the commands for us to be baptized. But Paul explains this just a little bit further, just in case some of you guys are like, I know I like to have details somewhat, right? I don't know. I don't like to give details, but I like to have details. It's not fair. It's weird. But Paul explained this just a little bit further. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Say this. It says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Now, this sounds really weird, okay? Because we're talking about being baptized into a dead guy. Right? I mean, if you just look at it on the surface, it sounds really weird. But it's going to make sense in a minute. It says, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so baptism is just symbolic. Like we're not literally, because again, it follows, we were baptized into his death, and it says we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of God the Father, we too may live a new life. So Jesus, like, this is kind of the symbolism here. Jesus went into the tomb, right, was there for 3 days, was dead, and rose again to new life. When you're baptized, you go under, you're putting to death the old life. You're saying, that's not who I am anymore, and you come up to new life. It's the same thing. It's following the pattern that Jesus set for us. He went to the tomb and was resurrected to new life. We go under and we're resurrected to new life. Do you guys get the idea? And so it's just symbolic of us putting off all of the things that we used to have, the way that we used to think, the things that we used to do because of the way that we used to think, and we put all of that to death, and we're raised to new life. Now, let me clarify. Salvation is not, like, you aren't saved because you're baptized. Like, I know some people, like, have weird hang-ups about stuff like this. So if you're baptized, that's not an act of salvation. It's a byproduct of salvation. Just so we all know what we kind of believe, right? Everybody's like, what's your statement of faith? I'm like, Jesus. I don't know. What's your doctrine? Jesus. And I know that's not fair because there are so many interpretations of all that stuff, but I don't know. That's the best I can do for you. Just deal with it, right? And so baptism is just, it's just that. It's just symbolic of putting the old dead life away and being raised to new life in Christ. And so if you haven't been baptized, man, that's your next move. If you've got the salvation thing under control, you've got this belief in Jesus as the Son of God, your next move is to be baptized. There's no reason for you not to. There's nothing holding you back. And dude, here's so many people, if you're prideful enough to think that, like, this is the first thought that runs through your mind, like, man, what would people think of me? Who cares? First off, they're not. They're just not. Like, I hate this. I have to explain this to my kids sometimes. Like, my daughter's very timid in big crowds, and she's like, she's just very concerned about what people are thinking about her. And I'm like, baby, they ain't thinking about you. Like, everybody is so selfish. Trust me, they're thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. And that's just the truth. And so if the first thought that runs through your mind is like, man, what are they going to think about me? They're not. Just do what you got to do. Become who you got to be. And all of the things that we talked about, so you guys know. So just don't think about it like that. Make your next move. Do what you got to do. And maybe that's the move that you need to make. So what we're going to do today is we're going to wrap up And I just want to take a few minutes and take some time to pray. And specifically for people maybe who haven't taken that first move, the first move of accepting Jesus, believing in Jesus. And again, you know, a room this size, maybe, I don't know how people work, and people come to church sometimes to figure things out. And if that's where you're at, this is exactly where you need to be. Take the time to figure it out. I'm glad that you're thinking about it. But let me pray, and I want to make sure that we're just, you know, have all had this opportunity to exemplify or whatever, just believe, right? Amen. Father, we love you. God, we thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, thank you that you sent your Son to die on the cross for our sins. God, you eliminated the need for the Old Testament law and the Old Testament system of sacrifice. God, that you were the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, that it was always in the cards for Jesus to be our atonement. God, I pray that we would just today take some time and thank you for that, honor you, appreciate you for what you've done for us. God, and for those of us that maybe our belief isn't where it needs to be, maybe we've heard this message before, maybe we've heard about Jesus and we've heard about salvation and all of these things before, God, but I pray that today that you would make it new and clear, that you would help us to understand our need for you and a Savior. God, that you paid a price for us that we could never pay or repay. God, I pray that we would just recognize fully, God, that we are sinners and that you're a Savior and we need you in the baddest way. God, I pray that this salvation, God, it's not of anything that we've done. It's not of our works. God, it's just a belief in you, and it's the gift that you give to us by grace through faith.